Yep.
Oh.
Okay, I'm just curious how informed Californians you are. October 19th, this week, and we're having the Great Shakeout Day. You haven't heard?
Yeah.
Did it work? Okay, yeah, that's what, where I live. You know, I've got all these brochures and, you know, all these papers, and then we get this thing that we can put in our window. We need help or we're okay, you know. And so it's all in preparation for the big one, you know, the earthquake that is coming. And I guess then from what I hear on the radio, and I listen to talk radio, so, you know, they have ads like this instead of, every now and then, yes, I hear a music station, and I haven't heard it on any of those, but on talk radio, they have an ad about the largest preparation day in the state of California is planned for October 19th, and that there's going to be the largest simulation of events and taking care of, you know, injured and things like that, and what to do for preparation for an earthquake. So now that's our public service announcement. Now you know, for those that didn't, and you're reminded of those who did, though. All right. So being prepared. We understand, you know, that need. And it's easy to think, you know, well, earthquakes never going to hit. I came from moving here from tornado country. And Fort Scott's never had a tornado. And every so many years, probably 7 or 8 times during the tornado season, the sirens will blow, you know, we got a tornado warning. And it always turns or something before it comes to Fort Scott. Gets into Fort Scott. And I've heard people say, well, Fort Scott's built in a valley. I lived up on the hill, but, you know, most of us down in the valley. So I was a little concerned that it might come around the hill. But, and yeah, and avoid the valley. But, you know, and that's why I've never had a tornado. And so, you know, people just kind of ignore the warnings, except to plug their ears. You know, they can get pretty loud. And that's one of the things that they found in the Joplin tornado. Back about 4 or 5 years ago, the most deaths, I believe, at least of current time, in one particular location in one tornado. 160 some people died in that tornado just a few years ago. And they showed on video that stores had, you know, security video and just running video inside. And as the video is playing, you can clearly hear the sirens blowing. And people are going up to the counter and they're ordering this, you know, they're doing that. Because, you know, it's just not going to happen here type of thing. And so being prepared. Of course, we're talking about a different preparation, but there's some similarities here. Not so much, I don't think, that we ignore being prepared for heaven. But if I could demonstrate it by a young man that I met several years ago. He was about 25, 26 years old at that time and hadn't married. He was a Christian. And there was a young lady that he was interested in, but she was actually too young, you know, to date at this time or something along that line. And he didn't have really a great family relationship. He was converted to the gospel. And we were riding together one day, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, I wish the Lord just come. I wish, you know, it would just happen and you know, we can go to heaven. And you know, he said, I just want to so go to heaven. And that is, you know, an admirable trait, you know, just to so want to go to heaven. But over a few years' time, he marries this young lady. She finally grows up, you know, and he marries her and they have children. And I don't think he's quite, you know, is in a hurry to die and go to heaven as he was back then, because now he's got responsibilities, you know, and he has all of these things that are important in his life and interesting to his life. He's still faithful. He and his family serve the Lord faithfully in a congregation up in Utah. And so, you know, I'm not saying that he's not faithful, but that sense of urgency is not there. And we can be kind of like that. And then we get old. And once again, we're kind of back in that station like he was. And that is that, you know, there's just not as much to live for. Our families are raised, they're grown, this and that. And, you know, everything's been kind of taken care of. And we're kind of like, you know, I'm ready anytime. And you know, we should be. But the point is that during those times when we are not seeing that urgency because we don't have that desire because we don't have a lot of the responsibilities of this life or in this life pressing on us. But there are those many years, more years than the years that we are young and we don't have the responsibilities, but most young people don't have the perspective he had anyway. I told him, I said, that's an old man's view of life. But most certainly, as we get older, that view becomes more and more, you know, pertinent. But how can we be prepared for heaven when we are not, you know, just longing for it, when we're not going, well, I wish the Lord would come today type of thing? And you know, a lot of people talk about, and I think maybe more people would be on the bandwagon for the Lord to come than for them to die. You know, well, if the Lord comes, then he comes for everyone, you see, and it's done, it's wrapped up for all of us. But, you know, I'm ready to die. It's just that I don't see any need to have to die today, right? And so we are most certainly prepared and ready for it, hopefully, but there's not that urgency. So when there's not that urgency, I want to talk about some ways by which that we can not so much develop the urgency of, you know, having this feeling or this desire, I wish, you know, I'd just die and you know, and go to heaven type of thing, but where that the appeal to heaven and the desire for heaven doesn't get lost and pressed out in, you know, our day-to-day business, in our lives, and saying, well, you know, we still have our children to take care of, we still have this to do, and we still have, you know, something else to resolve, and so we still have a lot of life to live, in a sense. All right? So here are four things I think that can help us. One is that we plan purposefully. And that is my life. Plan my life. Plan your life. Plan our life around the idea that heaven is the ultimate goal. That is what we ultimately desire. That's what we ultimately want. No, we like the guy, you know, that the preacher's up there saying, who wants to go to heaven? And everybody's raising their hand but the one guy. I know you know the joke. And so, you know, and the one guy won't raise his hand, and the preacher kind of keeps hounding him. The short of it is, he asked the guy, he says, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? And he goes, oh, yeah, when I die. He said, I thought you were putting together a group right now to go, you know. And so, you know, he didn't want to, he would raise his hand for that. So, you know, how is it then that when we're pressed with the day in and day out, you know, like Jesus talked about, he knew, he understood when he said, you know, there's sufficient evil of today to not have to worry about tomorrow. But when he said that, he was identifying and recognizing what? We have concerns and worries and thoughts about tomorrow, right? And so he's trying to get us, you know, to put that on the back burner, but he knows that. He understands that. And so I'm just simply saying, does he give us some scriptural advice how to do this, how to keep in mind our eternity in heaven? Well, plan purposefully, knowing that my life has a purpose. What is the purpose of our life? Well, you know, it can easily seem to get wrapped up in, well, it's It's to get another paycheck, to pay another bill, to get our children to this point, you know, and help them get out on their own, and to get our husbands and our wives and, you know, whatever, you know, all these responsibilities taken care of. And our desire is, just, you know, well, we get down to the end and we're it, and we don't really have anybody else to take care of but ourselves. And so, you know, and now is a good time to go. Well, how do we keep, you know, on that right path so that if something does happen, something does transpire, or the Lord does return during our busiest moments of life? You know, Paul is well known. I already know this about Paul. I've heard him say it many times. Today is a good day to die. And so it's being ready, being prepared to do so today. So how can we do that? Well, have that in mind. But how can we have that in mind? Preparing our life. Just realize our life is prepared around this one idea. When I die, when the Lord returns, whichever one of those happens first, I want to go to heaven. I want heaven to be my home. So what I suggest is, as we read these passages, we're going to be reading Philippians chapter 3 beginning here at verses 20 and 21 that help us to keep in mind. Now, it's not going to do a lot of good if we just read, well, it's going to do good, don't get me wrong, if we just read it tonight. But can you imagine if we took these passages that we're going to give and sometime throughout the week, I mean, even throughout the day if you can, but I realize that we've got a lot of scriptures to go through here, but that somewhere throughout the week, we read every one of these scriptures that I'm going to be giving you. And if we do that, they will be preparing our minds with this process, with this thought of, I'm going to live today so that if tonight or tomorrow or next week I die, it will be a good day to die. I'll be ready for it. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory, according to the working whereby He is able even to subject all things unto Himself. Imagine reading that sometime every week, realizing and thinking about it. I'm not going to have time to build upon each passage because we have several here, but we have several because I think if we read several, they will start helping us with a mindset. They will help us keep in mind. But the idea, where's our citizenship? It's in heaven. What are we doing? We're waiting for the Lord's return. And we have a body of humiliation here. You know, we won't get into that one. But we're looking for a time in which our body will be conformed to His glory. All right, let's look at another one here. So, with this mind, planning purposefully, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then we were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with Him be manifested in glory. And now we add Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then one other, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. Looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, if we read those few passages, maybe take these one day out of the week and just read them and understand, I'm planning purposefully for my life. My life has a purpose. I'm sorry, some of that a little hard to read. The reference is 2 Peter 3:12 through 13. I think that's probably the one that's a little tougher to read with the lighter background there. All right. There are four steps. We're now looking at the second step. And that is prepare prayerfully. So we're planning. We're reading these scriptures that remind us of our home, remind us of what the intent of our life is here and what the expectation is when our life is concluded here. And so we think of this admonition of Jesus when he comes back and he finds his disciples sleeping and not watching, not being prepared, not looking for the Lord, in a sense, there even. So we would read these scriptures sometime throughout the week, maybe even daily if possible. That would remind us to do just that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And then we're reminded over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 7, he says, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord, from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so we find that in each of these two passages that we read, here is the encouragement as we get there to the end. One is pray. Pray ourselves. Pray for others. And then certainly we find that even in respect to the Lord's return, the apostle who received that inspired message to pray for others and called upon them to pray for him says, "I pray for you." So prayer in respect to these things will help us in our preparation because we pray, because we prepare prayerfully. 1 Peter 4, 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sober mind and be sober unto prayer." 1 Peter 4 and 7. And I don't know necessarily that that passage is actually talking about the return of the Lord, but without getting into much detail, the idea there is that there will be trials. There will be judgment. He's put that within a context of judgment upon the saints. And so prayer is something that is necessary as we wait for that. All right, so we have plan purposefully. We realize we have a purpose. We realize we're here for a reason. We realize that we're living this life for a reason, an intent, hoping to accomplish, do something. In our preparation, be about prayer in respect to the Lord's return. Be about prayer in respect to our lives of living purposefully, living faithfully unto the Lord. So prepare prayerfully. And then the third thing is then proceed positively. I will develop an attitude. We will develop an attitude that as we proceed in our quest for heaven, that we will allow God to train our thinking, to mold our thoughts, as they then mold our lives, as they change our lives. So these scriptures hopefully will train our conscience to think in this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we begin. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. I find it difficult sometimes just to pass through, even though I'm going, Joe, we're just going to, pass through these, just going to read them, But the difficulty that I find is a lot of times is, the language of imagery, the word pictures. And it doesn't have to be some, exotic Greek word in order to get that picture. It just simply has to be some good old English words, even with the idea of, he's showing here, we like to be dressed. Unless somebody is just totally, being corrupted of that which is natural for man, if the door rings and we've just gotten out of the shower, we want to get dressed, don't we? And in fact, if the phone rings and we've just gotten out of the shower, we want to be dressed, don't we? Even though no one could... You see, the idea of being clothed upon is something that we understand, and he uses that, and he says, we long to be clothed with our habitation. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, I realize that there are some other implications there, but it's still a beautiful word picture there that we can associate with, and that is that as we proceed positively, we are looking at the Lord is clothing us. The Lord is providing us with what we need, and He'll provide us then with that habitation as well in heaven. All right, here's another passage, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. May not even have to read that one. I think probably just about everybody has that one committed to memory. Just, it's pretty easy to commit to memory. So I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. And that can help us to proceed with a positive attitude, with a positive mentality, that we can do this. In fact, as we have already seen in respect to preparing prayerfully, that He calls upon us to put on the proper armament, to be clothed with the things that God gives us to protect us spiritually and to provide for us spiritually. And if we're doing that, we can be positive. We can go, I can do this in Him who strengthens me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The apostle says, for which because I suffer also these things, yet I am not ashamed. For I know him whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. So that we'll be ready for that day of judgment because of his promises, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and our obedience of faith. And then we find in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. So, if on Wednesday, or if you take off reading them on Tuesday, but you can do all this in 4 days pretty easily and even repeat some of them. But if on Wednesday this is a part of our scripture readings and we read this, then we too will be looking for and love the appearing of the Lord. The 1 Peter 1, now that I mentioned just a moment ago, that I got a little ahead of myself on looking there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then one other, 1 John chapter 2 and 28. And now my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So we proceed through this journey of life with positive promises, positive commitment, positive living. And we can do all of that because these scriptures are training our conscience to think that way. That as we face day in and day out the various challenges, as we are just simply struggling through life, that we know that we are daily reminded that it's not just a struggle, but it is a journey. It is a life with God, walking with Him through His Son and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can be positive about that. And we can be a positive force in living that. Okay, well, there's one other. Plan purposefully, prepare prayerfully, proceed positively, and pursue persistently. Continue on. Well, you've heard the statement, chase the dream. So in a sense, you know, continuing persistently, chasing the dream. Someone once wrote, on the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of countless millions who, at the dawn of victory, sat down to rest, and resting, died. Well, we do not want that to be our downfall, that at the dawn or the dusk of our obtaining heaven, that we have given up. We do not want to give up, do we? And in order for us to have that hope and to look positively toward heaven, then we know that we have to continue to be persistent in our pursuit of living with Him, in our pursuit of a life in Jesus Christ. So as God provided us with some material, has God given us some tools that can help us? Well, certainly He has. And if we will write these scriptures down and then read them sometime throughout the week, and I would suggest, I guess you could take one scripture with each one of the points and say, you know, on Monday I'll plan purposefully and I'll read Philippians 3, 7 through 11. And Monday I'll, you know, prepare prayerfully and I'll read Ephesians 6, 10. And you can just read one for each one of those. And then on Tuesday, then, you read the next set of scripture, you know, with each one. Or you can just take each one as a block and read all the scripture with them. In some ways, I kind of like that to start out with, because that's what starts training the conscience. You have that thread, you have that consistency that runs through there. And then once you kind of get that down, then, you know, just take each point and read one scripture with each one of those points daily. So, what are some scriptures that would encourage us to pursue persistently? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then shall come to pass the statement that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. I don't know, it's pretty hard not to read these daily. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on. If so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Let me pause here for a moment. Okay, that's the only reason I needed to pause. It's just wet my whistle a little bit, as they say. Fight the good fight of faith. Laid hold on the life eternal. For unto thou was called, and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Paul exhorted Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. And then we find, jumping down a couple of verses, he says, that thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6, 14. So we can pursue persistently. We are encouraged to do so, to fight the good fight of faith. James 4, 7 through 8. Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James 4, 7 through 8. So we're reminded that daily, not only do we have a righteousness to pursue, but we have, you know, a life that can pull us into sin to abandon. And some scriptures, you know, give that image of taking those things off, the things of this world, off like an outer garment and laying them to the side and then being able to pursue on. And so, in order to pursue persistently, we draw near unto God. And as we are coming close to God, we know then that our hands need to be cleansed and our hearts need to be purified. Pursue persistently, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. And so here's that reminder of, yeah, life comes pressing down upon us. Yes, there are things there that distract us, that detract our attention from our goal. And so that's why when we read these things daily, we're reminded of that. We're reminded that there are these distractions. We are reminded that there are things that detract us, that would keep us from keeping readily in mind to be prepared and to be ready for our eternal life in heaven. So wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen you love, on whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then we conclude with 1 Peter 1 and 13, just a couple of verses down from what we just finished there. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Peter 1, 13. Being prepared. I wonder, October 19th, the great shake-up day, how long that's going to remain in people's memory. And I just find it interesting, all these things that we try to do like that to remind us and to remember certain things. And I have my theories on it. I'd love to tell you what they are and stuff, but it's a little political. So I'll just save that, you know. That's not necessarily what we're doing here. So we see the advantage and we see the idea and we see the purpose behind the Lord calling upon us to remember His death weekly. Not just on October 19th or not just upon one Sunday a year or even one Sunday a month, but continually. And so to be prepared, we plan purposefully, we prepare prayerfully, we proceed positively, and we pursue persistently. And God has revealed to us reminders that not only remind but motivate us and reveal to us the path of being faithful and how to be so, the things to incorporate so that our life is a life that He is truly directing and guiding, and it is a life by which that no matter when, if it is early in our life or we are called in the busiest moments of our life or that we are in those waning days when we are waiting and somewhat even longing before our home in heaven, that no matter which season in life, that we are actually then called home, that we are prepared. If anyway you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ to help you in that preparation, we invite you, wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by.